Kristen.
Yes, Rafer.
Do you ever feel like you are the sane person in a world that's gone utterly mad?
I do. I feel that all the time.
I've had that feeling lately because I've seen the film Babies, the new documentary.
Yeah.
All about babies, which are the cutest things in the world, as we all know. And yet somehow I found myself just completely, utterly bored, feeling almost nothing for these babies.
How can you feel nothing for babies? You have a baby at home.
I know.
You have a baby on the way.
I know.
And babies are just so precious and baby-like. They're soft.
You would think.
They coo.
I know.
Sometimes when they're getting more sophisticated, they roll.
They roll. Yes, they crawl. They do the military crawl. Look, I've been through it all. I've seen all of it. I'm about to see it again. But for some reason, this movie just... I just could not get into it, and I feel like I'm the only person that did not like this film.
You might be. But before we go into that a little bit more, this is Kristen Meinzer, takeaway producer.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, takeaway movie critic and movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
Yes. So, okay. Why were you bored with babies? Babies, according to A.O. Scott of the New York Times, can restore your faith in humanity.
Yeah,
according
I was surprised to read
every
that.
Single critic on Rotten Tomatoes, it's very fresh on the tomato meter right
it's
now.
It's very fresh, is that right?
Yeah, it's very fresh on the tomato meter. This is the movie that's going to make you open your eyes and see the everyday parts of your life in a whole new way.
Here's my problem with it. The movie is almost completely non-judgmental, which in some ways is kind of a good thing, especially given that documentaries these days are all about sort of axe grinding and taking a strong side and, you know, some sort of partisanship. So it's nice to see a documentary that's just completely objective, right? You've got four babies all around the world.
First of all, I don't agree with that, but I'll let you continue.
You don't agree? Okay,
nope,
that's interesting.
I'll let you continue.
Okay, that's interesting. All right, I'll finish that because I want to hear this. So for those of you who haven't seen it, it's four babies around the world, Namibia, Tokyo, San Francisco, Mongolia.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, large swath of cultures from, you know, sort of the ultra-urban to the ultra-rural. And I feel like the film just never wanted to point up any kind of contrast between the rural and the urban, between the quote-unquote primitive and the quote-unquote civilized, which in some ways is good. You know, you don't want to exoticize the Namibians as sort of noble savages or anything. And you don't want to necessarily take easy pot shots at the San Franciscans for being a bunch of laid-back, hippy-dippy types, right? But after a while, the film is so ridiculously non-judgmental that it's almost as if you're not even watching anything on the screen. It's like they've trained the camera on some object and just let it roll. And you would think that these babies would be able to... You'd think you'd see some differences between these babies, but you don't. It's just like four babies with slight variations in skin color doing the exact same thing.
Even if the director meant for there not to be major comparisons, I think that there were in certain points. That the little girl in Namibia, so cute. Remember when she was walking with the can on her head?
Yes. Oh, you know, now that was amazing.
Right. You are only 11 months old, and you can balance something on your head and walk 15 feet. In a fashion that nobody in America who's 25 years old could do.
You're not going to see the San Francisco baby doing that.
No, that's San Francisco.
But that's the only instance. That's the only instance where you see any kind of what I would call cultural difference. I guess because these babies are all kind of sing along. Yeah,
hello,
well,
Dad.
Look, I've been to them. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Earth
yeah. Mother
is
Earth.
Our mother. So that point, that's when they're in the Daddy and Me sing along.
Right.
And it's all these dads with their babies and our little San Francisco baby. Tries to crawl away from the sing-along
yes.
and is pounding on the door to get out.
Yes, yes, that's true. That's true. All right, so you've got two instances maybe, but I felt that the rest was just, I don't know, so completely unilluminating and unenlightening. Maybe, is it because I've, you know, maybe it's because I have a baby of my own.
Maybe
but
you're
I think,
used to seeing these things.
Maybe I am.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I'm not trying to say that I loved the movie.
Right.
I'm not. I didn't love the movie. I didn't think it was amazing and earth-shattering. It didn't restore my faith in humanity. I already had faith in humanity. I don't need to see babies to get that. But, you know, it was fine.
Have you ever had a movie that you have not liked, that everyone else has seemed to just be completely thrilled by, that the whole world is in love with this movie, and you are the one person that has to sort of mutter under your breath, actually, I didn't really like that movie very much.
The number one on my list, I'm afraid you're going to jump across the soundboards here and then strangle me if I say it out loud, because people get so upset when I say I don't like this movie.
Okay.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I think that's perfectly fine, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I've actually stopped parties by saying that I don't really care for Breakfast at Tiffany's, where people, it's just like that scene in the movie where everyone's singing and dancing and people are hitting on each other, and then somehow the record player goes,
yeah, right.
It scratches, and then
the piano player stops playing.
And a glass breaks somewhere in the room, and all eyes are on me saying, I can't believe you, get out of here.
For me, the problem with that movie is George Peppard. I don't find him a very likable, interesting, believable, or romantic lead.
Holly, I own you.
Yeah,
you belong to me.
People do fall in love. People do belong to each other, because that's the only chance anybody's got for real happiness.
Right. I don't see the attraction for him. Everything else I thought was okay. But I mean, what did you not like about that film in particular? Was there any one thing that turned you off?
I just don't have a lot of sympathy or empathy for characters who, to me, are no better than those on The Hills or other reality shows on MTV.
Right.
You have a social climber who has low self-esteem, who tries to dress up and be something else, but because she's pretty.
Yes.
And looks waifish.
Yes.
We all just love her and just want to embrace her and help her really just reach her full potential. And we want to see the love that's inside of her heart.
Yes.
And she's just a delicate person underneath it all. But she's really just Heidi Montag.
Right.
I really
that's
just.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a deep insight. I like
and
that.
And the only reason I think people like her is, oh, she's pretty, though.
Well, it's Audrey Hepburn. She's got those sort of dewy eyes. And
yeah. She
well,
looks
and
great.
I think there's an edge of the tragic to her. In the original book by Capote, that it kind of doesn't really come through in the movie, but
yeah.
I think that little edge is just there, just enough that people still kind of like it, and they think that movie has a little something extra to it. Do you know what I mean?
Look,
I hear you. I'm with you. Okay,
it's fine. It's fine. If I never see Breakfast at Tiffany's again, I'm really fine with that. And I appreciate your insights into it. But yeah.
All right.
Not
all right.
Loving it. What about you? Is there a movie that everybody loves and when you say it out loud, people just get upset?
Yeah. One of them. Well, there's two of them. They're connected. But the first would be The Sound of Music. I really have never liked that film.
Rafer.
I know. I find her really annoying in that film.
Doe, a deer, a female deer, ray, a drop of golden sun.
And I again find Christopher Plummer a total dud in that film. Like, what is the attraction to him?
Oh,
I don't get it.
A forceful man? The captain?
I guess.
I can see the criticism. Okay, your criticisms are in some ways valid. She sings a little too much.
She's always
singing. The nuns, I can see why the nuns get tired. How do you solve a problem like
right,
Maria?
Exactly.
You marry her off.
Right, exactly. And then I like Julie Andrews. I do. I like Julie Andrews. I loved her in Victor Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
I liked her in SOB, that weird Blake Edwards movie.
Yeah,
I like that.
She's got a great sense of humor.
She's really good.
She's gorgeous. She's
that,
funny. Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's, yeah, I love her. But I also feel like after Sound of Music, there was also this, the full flower of that persona was Mary Poppins, another film that I really just don't like. And in that one, she is her perfectness is explicitly written into the character, which makes it even more annoying to me.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, even though the sound of
I'm about to take off my headphones, throw them down on
really?
This table, and walk out of the room.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew I'd get no sympathy from you on that.
How can you not love the... I mean, Mary Poppins might have been a little too complex for you, but Sound of Music? Really? You just... What about the singing? What about the special relationship between a father and his seven children?
I saw that movie when I was a kid, and having heard so much about it, obviously any household that you grew up in America is in love with The Sound of Music.
Of course.
And so it was
you
all...
You know why, though?
Why?
Because parents can put their kids in front of that movie and not have to pay attention to them
right,
for over
three hours. Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And I remember seeing it, and I remember thinking to myself, just as with The Wizard of Oz, if I never see this movie again, that'll be perfectly fine with me.
The Wizard of Oz, too.
The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, my God.
I saw it once. That's enough. I'm perfectly fine seeing it once. That's all. Thanks. Good enough.
If I never see it again, it's because it's scary, not because it's bad.
It does have some good scary moments. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, it's very
that's
scary,
true.
But oh, my God. Well, the other movies on my list don't even compare. Right? I don't even know what to say. The Godfather is the big one that when people hear I hate.
That's on my list, too.
Oh, what? You
yes.
Know, this is amazing. I can't believe we agree on
all
The Godfather
right, we agree
being
the
mediocre
Godfather.
At best.
I don't think it's mediocre. It's just that for me, the issue is it's a guy film. Mm-hmm. Most guys, it shows up on their list. And if you say, if it's not on your list, it's a little bit like not being able to like hock a loogie or throw a football. And so, and it's never on my list. And it always makes me, you know, frankly, less of a heterosexual man to, in the eyes of other heterosexual men.
Godfather, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
You can act like a man. What's the matter with you? Is this how you turn down a Hollywood Pinocchio that cries like a woman?
It's a great sleep aid for me.
Is
that
right?
I've tried to watch it maybe three times, and every time I fall asleep at some point. Maybe I'll wake up just in time to see Al Pacino's girlfriend get blown up in a car and
right.
fall back to sleep again.
Right.
Am I even thinking of the right movie? Does he have a girlfriend who gets blown up in a car?
I can't remember. Is it Godfather 1 or is it Godfather 2? I get them mixed up and I can't remember.
Oh, God. I can't keep track. I can't remember. But in any event, it's been a great joy talking about movies
I'm glad
made
we
us
got
ostracized
to...
in the eyes of people who have supposedly better taste than us.
It's been nice to vent.
Thanks, Rafer.
All right, Kristen.